So I have an announcement. I want to touch on something ironic, something historical, and then end with a little bit of theology. The announcement is that there's a seminarian coming from St. Charles Seminary in Philadelphia. He's supposed to say a few words after Holy Communion. I got a text from him while I was here in Confessions that he's running late. So we hope and pray he makes it here on time. This then leads to the ironic part. The reason he's coming is because this is actually the beginning of Vocations Awareness Week, not just in our diocese, but across the country. So this is a schedule set up by the U.S. bishops, because as we go through the liturgical calendar, let's say like in September, we have Catechetical Sunday, and then in October, we have Pro-Life Sunday. This is Vocations Awareness. The ironic part is that I'm sure that when they make those schedules, they're kind of looking at different things, and only after the schedule was set did someone look and see what the gospel for today was, because it's ironic that the very Sunday that we say, now call no one father, which then raises the question in the eyes of Catholics, well, why do we call priests father? Right, this is a weekend we're supposed to talk about vocations. So I'm sure some bureaucrat in the U.S. bishops kind of went, not a good choice. So whatever, that's the ironic part. So the history. The title Rabbi and the title Master. So Jesus criticizes three titles: Father, Master, and Rabbi. Rabbi and Master were fairly recent. They had only come into use in Jewish times, not just a little bit before Jesus was there. So it was a new reality, and it had to do with the fact that Jewish life had been so upset for about 500 years before Christ had come along, that there was this new group of people who were basically running things. And this new group of people, the new religious authorities, were basically lay theologians. So there are these lay theologians who were experts on the scriptures. And along with that came the rise of synagogues. Synagogues were also a fairly new invention as of Jesus's time. And one of the difficulties was that the new religious authorities apparently acted as badly as the old religious authorities, who were the priests. Because for about 1,000 years, actually 1,300 years, there had been priests in as part of Jewish life. So I think that's the title Father, because the title Father goes all the way back to Abraham, which is 2,000 years before Jesus. So the whole establishment was a mess. They were a mess. And Jesus is basically, fine, if you're going to take the title, if you're going to act like in the seat of Moses, act like it. But you don't act like it. And therefore, you don't deserve to be called rabbi, you don't deserve to be called master, you don't deserve to be called father. You don't deserve it. So why do we call priests father? If you read St. Paul, if you flip later in the New Testament, St. Paul takes the title father to himself. Now, interestingly enough, St. Paul was a Pharisee. So he would have been one of that group that was also called rabbi and master. So in terms of the history of church life, apparently they took the don't call the religious leaders rabbi or master, they took it as a commandment. And the admonition about call no one on earth your father, really a commentary on what the title father is about. Was that boring enough? Was that like, I'm teaching a class on the history of the Old Testament at the college, and that's one of the reasons why I thought I would burden you with that. So theology, this actually is Vocations Awareness Week. So I want to give you the theology of vocations. So in case it comes up in conversation, you can kind of make sense of it. We all are called by God. And the call from God has three different levels. The highest calling, the supreme calling from God, is the call to holiness. We're all called to be holy. We're all called to be virtuous. So it's not enough to just be good. It's not enough just to live the commandments. The commandments are down here. If we're not living the commandments, we're not even playing the game yet. We're just struggling at beginning to play the game. So Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount points us to this is the goal, because he begins the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes. So the goal, the Holy Spirit alive in our lives, is going to move all of us, each in our own way, to move toward living the Beatitudes. So we should never just look at the commandments and say, well, that's the Christian life, right? No. That's just the beginning of the Christian life. The Beatitudes are the Christian life. That's how good the Holy Spirit can make us. Not by our own power, not by our own will, but it's what the grace of God can accomplish. We can be that good. So that's vocation in the most in the highest, simplest form. Then the next level of vocation is that each of us have particular talents, abilities, weaknesses, circumstances, relationships, situations that we're in. Some of them help us pursue the Beatitudes. Some of them make it harder to pursue the Beatitudes. Some of them are experience of the blessing of God. Some of them are experience of the cross. We all have our own unique set of combination. That combination that we have is designed to move us as easily as possible from living the commandments to living the Beatitudes. So why this person's life seemingly is easier on the outside and maybe harder on the inside, another person struggles a lot on the inside, but no one can notice it. Why some people's families seem to be a mess a lot, and other people seem to have things in order. Why you have poor and rich and all of this. And I'm not doing socioeconomic analysis. It's all part of the path. And it's not like a path that each of us walks like are by ourselves. We're supposed to be doing this together. We're not supposed to be doing this by ourselves. So the second level of vocation of discerning what is God's will for me in my life has to do with dealing with all of that stuff and how do I, in the middle of all of that, cooperate with the grace of God so I can be holy. Now that's at odds with the world because the focus of the world is not on being holy or virtuous. The focus of the world is on being happy. Now it's not that God doesn't want us to be happy. He does want us to be happy. He wants us to have joy, but joy because we're moving toward holiness, not joy instead of being holy. Then we get to the third level of vocation, so the call to holiness, the circumstances of our life, and the third level is what we traditionally kind of think of as vocation is, am I called to be married, or am I called to some sort of consecrated celibate vocation? Some of us have the grace to figure that out. Some of us figure it out and try it, and it doesn't work. So, for example, someone might be called to be married. They know who they want to marry. They know they could be a good husband. They know they could be a good wife. They know they could be a good mom or good dad. The person who they either want to marry or actually do marry, that person then crashes and burns on them. That's not necessarily their fault. It's because the other person didn't cooperate. That's an example of, I know what I'm called to, but it doesn't unfold the way I expect it to unfold. Or you might have a young woman who thinks she's called to be a religious. She wants to be a teacher, join the National Dominicans, or join any one of a number of other religious orders that teach. And the community doesn't accept her. So she's frustrated because she thinks she's called to this, but it doesn't actually work out. So the reality is that to the degree that the Lord lets us know where he wants us in terms of a permanent commitment, not a job or just a ministry, but a permanent commitment. So the permanent commitment of marriage or the permanent commitment of priesthood or the permanent commitment of some form of religious life. To the degree that we're aware of it, we need to pursue that because it's in that state in life that it's the easiest way to take the combination of the reality of our life to pursue holiness, to pursue the Beatitudes. Whereas if we don't discern and follow the particular call, whatever it is, then the Christian life, which is difficult, becomes even more difficult. And cooperating with God, which can be challenging anyway, becomes even more challenging. So the key to discerning the vocation, the specific state in life, is not waiting for a sign. The key is taking the other two parts of vocation seriously. If I really want to be virtuous, if I really want to be holy, if I really want to cooperate with the grace of God, and I really work with the reality of my life trying to be a good Catholic, then I'm going to hear what God wants to say, and however God communicates it to me, I'll be able to pursue it. The challenge is if we hear other people in terms of discerning their vocation, the challenge for us is to encourage them. Often we tend to sort of be the voice of the world and ask them, well, what do you want to do to be happy, or I only want you to be happy. What we should be saying is, I only want you to be virtuous, because if you're virtuous, if you're holy, you're going to have the joy and the peace God wants you to have. So for all of us who have entered into our vocation, whether it's married or celibate, we need to pray for the grace to be faithful. Because the better we live our state in life, the better example we set. And for any of you who are single, either newly single or later single, but for any of you who are single for whom discernment is still a reality, the grace I'd ask you to pray for is to be open to the vocation to holiness, to really pursue the Beatitudes, to be practical about the realities of your life, and wherever the Lord calls you, wherever he's pulling you to become a saint, is that to be open to entering into that state as God makes it available to you.